In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Again, good morning, everyone. And as we gather together, not in person, but according to what we can do, still we are, as I said last time, still we are one body and united together through the Word of God. And as I said before, maybe we can't participate from the incarnate word, but we are participating from the written word. So that's what gathers us, and that's what unites us through him and through each other also, and to each other also. The gospel today again is a repetition of the last week, but it's not like because the church is running out of readings, but there is a purpose of that. The whole month of Hatur is about the impact of the Word of God, and the fact that the Word of God is effective and working. So with that, if we look at last week as the fruits of the Word of God, we look today at the parable from a different angle, which is the blessings of the Word of God. The blessings of the Word. يعني الأسبوع اللي فات بيبقى ثمار الكلمة, هنا بركات الكلمة. The blessing. That's why Psalm 104 talks about that. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The wealth, the richness, the blessings. The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, he sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. You can tell and you can sense the blessings of the Word of God. And that's why at the end of this very short version of the parable of the sower, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So it is the reminder again of the impact of the Word of God, and that brings blessings to our life. And it's a good thing to remember today also, as we are celebrating also the Synaxarium, the commemoration of Archangel Gabriel, who brought the herald of the glad tidings, and how much that glad tiding was also a source of blessing, not only for the person who received the seed, received the word, received the message, but for the whole people and for the whole church and for the whole humanity, if I may say, especially with the glad tidings to Saint Mary. So with that, we'll talk about a couple of things, maybe a little bit different today, but the blessing of the Word of God, the seed that he's talking about, how much that seed, when it is received in good soil, it not just also it gives the fruit, but also it brings the blessings with it. I'll refer to an actually very, very, very unique event that happened in the Old Testament as a blessing of the Word of God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34, a very unique chapter. This particular event is after the second time Moses received the Word of God. And the circumstances before that is, we know how the people of Israel went and worshipped the golden calf and went away from the Lord. So we know that Moses went up again and received the Word of God for the second time. After he received the Word of God, the Lord had a beautiful encounter with him. We read it in Exodus chapter 34. And it really fits very, very much on today's psalm and on today's reading, the blessing of the Word of God. So not enough that God gave the Word of God and gave his Torah to Moses the second time, but he did something very unique and very beautiful. We'll read it together, and We'll get take some things out of that again, how we can get the blessing of the Word of God and how we should react to that. So Exodus 34 is the reference that we will go through in parallel with today's reading in Matthew, the parable of the sower. Let me bring it up here again and then read it together and see where are we at from this. Again, welcome everybody who's just joining us. We just finished the reading of the today's second Sunday of the month of Hatur, and we read again from the Pauline epistle, Hebrews, the reading from the epistle of Saint Paul to the Hebrews, and then we read also the Catholic epistle from the epistle of Saint Jude, and then the Acts, and then Gospel, which is Saint Matthew, chapter 13 from 1 to 9, and before that Psalm 104, 10 and 16. Talking again about the sower, the parable of the sower, but here we talk about the blessing that we have in the Word of God. The blessing that we have, and we're referencing this again to chapter 34 of the book of Exodus, as we will read this from verse 6. Again, this particular event happened when Moses second time went up on the mountain and received the Torah, received the written commandments by God, and then after this we'll see what happened here. This is an important, very important passage in the Old Testament. Exodus 34, I'll read from verse 6. The Lord passed before him. Let's do verse 5, sorry. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped, and he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. It's an amazing encounter with, after receiving the word of God. And you see that God is confirming, actually, after giving the word of God to Moses, he is confirming that by his own presence, by his own presence. We talk always about the sower, the seed is the word of God. And we're talking today that the Word of God has blessings. What is that Word of God blessing impacting us? How is it impacting us? And how we can react to this? That's why the main blessing, if you think of the Word of God, is not just blessing that we are gaining something, but the main blessing according to this passage is what? That the Lord is declaring himself. He's revealing himself to Moses. Not only that I gave you the commandment, but here, look at this again. After the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Proclaimed in Hebrew, qara, which is crying out loud. He cried out loud saying, you know, here is he who I am. And it repeats himself, the Lord, a God, merciful and gracious. This is the blessing that we get when we read the word of God. The Lord is proclaiming his attributes to us. This particular passage is called to the Hebrew something called the 13 attributes of the mercy of God. It's a very, very important text to the Jewish people. It's again, it's called the 13 attributes of mercy. And that's how we get the blessing. Every time we read the Bible, every time our soil is ready to receive the seed of God, the Lord proclaims himself to us. How is he proclaiming himself to us? Let's go through it. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. In Hebrew it says, Yahuwah, Yahuwah, El. Jehovah, Jehovah, El, El is God, the Lord God. Merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgression. It's amazing that all those words are basically one word for one attribute, which is love. And in Hebrew, there's multiple words that are used to declare and to proclaim love. That's why in Greek they couldn't find any other word, so they invented and invested the agape, away from the philo, away from the eros, but they couldn't find anything other than, okay, we'll have to make another word, which is the agape, the love that is without thee. In Hebrews, there is multiple. All those words are actually, the root of it is love. The Lord passed and proclaimed. He cried out loud, saying, the Lord, merciful, gracious. And if I read it in Hebrew to you, it is Rahum, Hanun, Hasad. All those words are the one meaning of love. But there isn't enough words to describe the love of God other than he is graceful, he is Hanun, he is Hasad, he is the most long-suffering. That's why this particular passage, again, the Hebrew tradition, they call it the 13 attribute of the mercy of God. Not going to go through it all, but I'm just going to go kind of cruise through it. Number one, the 13 is actually the first thing is Yahweh, Adonai. And Yahweh is I exist. So the first blessing that he declares himself through the word of God, his own self, that I exist, I am. I'm not just the power. I'm not just, you know, I sit in my room and shut my eyes and imagine that there is a God. It's not just something, okay, yes, this is the word of God that's in the Bible that I have to somehow convince myself. No, I am who I am. I exist. This is number one. Number two is repeating the same word again. It's amazing how the Jewish people counted twice, because he said, Yahweh, Yahweh, the Lord, the Lord. He's confirming. And number three is God, El. That's why we say Immanuel. God is with us. El is always God. I, the Lord, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, my strength to show compassion. I am, again, three times, three different, two repetition and one different word to just declare that I am declaring myself. This is the blessing that we get from him. Blessing is not just something that we gain. Blessing is not just like extra money or extra job or extra health or extra whatever. It's not. It's his presence. Number four is he calls himself Rahum. I, the Lord, merciful. Mercy means that actually the same word coming from Rahum, coming from Raham. Raham, those who knows Arabic is the Raham, al-Raham, the womb. There is no more gracious and merciful place in the whole earth as the womb of the mother to her own son. And that's why Rahum coming from Raham, the womb of the woman, of the mother. There is nothing more than that. I am Rahum, because out of that womb comes life, even before the baby is coming to the world. Number four or five is Hanun, gracious, another word of love, to pour out my favor freely to all creation. I'm pouring out my grace. Hanun, the word Hanan is actually grace. So it's not just that Hanan, like I'm compassionate. No, I am pouring out my grace. Again, these are the blessings that we get from the word of God. And he continues, Erek Afayim, slow to anger. Erek means slow. Af, which comes from Anf. So we have always that view in the Old Testament. We have the fayim, the face, the presence, and we have the af, the anf, the nose, the anger. Both of them. But here he said arak meaning actually to prolong. So he's prolonging his anger. He is not an angry God. No. This particular passage shows how much he is actually using more than eight words to describe his love. Again, the question, we're not just going through this to know some words, but to really know the blessings that comes with the seed when it lands in and on the correct soil. That God reveals himself. Again, Moses didn't need that. But after he saw the Lord and after he received the commandments from the Lord actually intentionally make that intentional. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God is a merciful, gracious, slow to anger. When we enter into our room, are we, when we open our scripture, are we in his presence? Does the Lord proclaim to us, crying out loud to us, I am that? Especially nowadays when there is no truth, everything is messed up, everything is wrong. Are we finding truth in him or not? Are we really believing that he is Rahum and Hanun or not? Or we start to doubt in the midst of everything else that we are going through. God, merciful, gracious, slow to anger. Erech Apayim. He prolongs, erech to prolong. He prolongs that. Seven, he said that he goes, that Rab Hasad, abundant in love. Again, all words are basically trying to describe the love of God. There isn't one word in Hebrew that says, okay, this is love. But you must use all those multiple words to try to describe the love of God. Rab Hasad, Rab as multiple, multitude, Rabawat. Abundant in love to both the righteous and to the evil also. And then he goes, Rab Emet, the word that we see here that in Arabic probably not quite convincing, which is Al-Wafa, Kathir Al-Ihsan Wal-Wafa. Here we see it, steadfast love and faithfulness. Faithfulness is more accurate. Faithfulness, that's why the word in Hebrew is emet, which is amin, which is faithful. He is Rab emet, kathir al-wafa, kathir al-amana, faithful. Again, the Lord, amazing encounter. The Lord is confirming to Moses after giving him the Torah that he is what the Torah is all about. This is me, the 13 attributes of the merciful. Steadfast, and he is the Lord, a truthful Lord in carrying out his promises. And then he changed the tone, keeping steadfast love for thousands, and then forgiving iniquities and transgression. Forgiving, it's amazing that forgiving, actually the word itself is to lift, to carry, yarfa. Okay, in Arabic, I think it says ghafir al-ithm, but it's not ghafir al-ithm, rafa al-ithm. He lifts up the iniquity and the transgression. And here we have to stop because I was reading about this. There is actually more than 8 words that describe sin in Hebrew. Here we see 3 words, but they're very, very important because of the way it means. He lifts what kind of transgressions? Number one, the Aun, which is defined as the wrongful deeds committed premeditation wrongful deeds. Ma'asifq al-Israr. This is number one. He will take this. And number two, what he called Pasha, which is the transgressions defined as wrongful deeds committed in rebellious spirit. So the first one is premeditated. Number two, rebellious spirit. I just don't want. Even if I don't want, even if I just like I'm rebellious against God, he is willing to lift it up. And number three, what we called the hata, which from it, khatiyya, khata, forgives sin defined as those wrongful deeds that were inadvertently committed by mistake, khata. So the three words here that are used, again, brings us how much blessing we have, that he is willing to lift those up, to lift up the premeditated, the rebellious, and the inadvertently committed sin. This is who God is. As we were talking yesterday in the Bible study, من تظنون المسيح? Who do we think Christ is? Do we really have that encounter with him? When we read the scripture, when we sit in our own room, when we take our quiet time, does God reveal himself to us as the 13 attributes of mercy or not? So what did Moses do at the end of this? This is what we should do. Three things. After the Lord finished that, but who will by no means, actually, one more thing that I want to say here, because it's still not quite clear in the English nor the Arabic. He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity. It's not clear the guilty. It says that he will not purify those who do not want to be purified. So it's not that he is coming to punish. مفتقد إثم الأباء. In Arabic, لكنه لن يبرئ إبراءً. Clears the guilt. It's actually, he will not purify those who do not need to be purified. So I'm still merciful. I'm still loving. I'm still long-suffering. I'm still abundant in steadfast love and faithfulness. But if you don't want to be purified, I will not force you to be purified. You have been cleansed because of the word that's spoken. But if I don't read and don't hear the word, I will not be purified. And Moses quickly did three things. Bowed his head toward the earth. He said, if now I have found favor in your sight, and he asked, please be in the midst of us. This is what we need to do in order to really get the blessings of the word of God. Bow our head, worship, humble ourselves, pour down ourselves in front of him. And number two, pray to him. If now I have found favor in your sight, please let the Lord go in the midst of us. Communicate with him. And finally, ask his presence that he will forgive. Please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people. We are confessing that we are stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. This is what Moses did. Three things that we should all do if we really want, every time that the Lord will reveal himself through the 13 attributes of mercy in Exodus 34, that we need to worship, we need to bow our heads. We need to come down to him in humility. We need to talk to him and ask him and say, really, now if I have found favor in your sight, please, number three, accept to be in the midst of us, to purify, because we, even if we do not and we don't want to be purified, you are the one who can purify, and take away our iniquities and sin from our inheritance. With this, you can see and you can hear again the psalm of today, which is talking about the multitude of the mysteries and of the blessings of the Lord. Again, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, he sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. This is the abundant of the overflow of God's blessings. I really want you to read this again. Exodus 34. It's an amazing encounter. And again, all this after people transgressed and worshipped the golden calf. But again, the Lord gave the commandments to Moses, and it's not enough that he gave it to him. He descended and he qara', crying out loud, said, wait a minute, before you go, I want to make sure you know what this is all about. The Lord God is Ra'uf, Hanun, Hasad. And all those are trying to describe one word, which is the love of God. It's an amazing passage and amazing blessings that we should have, we should live, we should pray with it every time. Then again, we see the trees are full of sap. All the blessings of his presence, not talking about any kind of materialistic blessings, but as St. Paul says in Ephesians, all the heavenly blessings. May God give us that understanding that we really, he reveals himself. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to come and proclaim and said, here I am, God, God, or the Lord God. Yahweh, Yahweh, El. That's who he is. Do we know him like this or not? That's a different story. But in order to do this, let's do those three things that Moses did at the end. Come in front of him, pour ourselves, bow down, worship in humility, connect with him and ask him and talk to him in prayers. Ask his presence that he can purify, forgive our iniquities, our sins, that we can really be enjoying that relationship with him. Enjoying that relationship with him and take this and take it out and bring it to everybody else, especially in a time that people are so doubtful now, where is God? Where is God? It's enough. God's anger is enough. God's punishment is enough. We're all down. We're all losing hope. But this is not what intended to be. Again, as I said, Hanun and Ra'uf, merciful and willing to pour all his grace, to pour all his love, to pour all his care. He will prolong. He was like taking a sheet of or a piece of elastic and just prolong it as much as he can before it snaps. Let's come together and worship in spirit and in mind and one body together, that we really see him as the merciful God, that he wants to reveal himself to us, that we take this and spread it all over the world in a time that everybody is doubting his presence. To him the glory, now and forever, to the ages of all ages. Amen.